great concert last night. Blind Boys of Alabama in town at the Rose Theater. And as usual, they kicked it to the curb. I don't know what that means, but they did that. That's right. Folks, Michael Korn is back on the show. Michael has come out with another great, shiny, gold book called The Future of Catholicism. Mr. Korn, thank you for joining us one more time. How are you, sir?
Very well. It is rather golden, isn't it?
It is a very golden book, almost opulent, I might say.
It's like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
It is just like the Golden Ticket. It is very much so. Anyway, so you ready? This is not going to be a good start to this interview. You're still on about this Catholic stuff, huh?
I am, yeah, I know. That annoying institution given to us by God to guarantee our salvation. What a pain.
How many more Catholic books do you think you're going to write? Do you have another one already going?
Nah. Actually, it's a very good question. I know you're joking, but certainly for the foreseeable future, this is it. And in fact, Random House commissioned just about 3 weeks ago another book. After that one, I'll be doing all of my interviews under the witness protection scheme, because it's called You Must Die, Islam's War on Christianity.
All right, and who's going to write the foreword, Tarek?
I usually don't have forewords written for me. I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
No. Wow, you are just a glutton for punishment. Okay, so I want to start off this whole thing. I'm kind of predicting your answer to this, but let me throw it out anyway. You know, the evangelicals are known for being evangelical. Catholics, not so much, unless they're evangelical Catholics. So could you just pretend that you are, you know, the Kirk Cameron or the Ray Comfort of Catholicism?
Oh, good God, what a thing.
Yeah, that was horrible. And try to just, I don't know, I mean, what would you say to me? If you and I were actually socializing, we'd have more than enough conversations, and you finally sat me down and said, look, Drew, seriously, if you're serious about your faith, you need to consider Catholicism. How would you sort of convince me to jump ship? I know it's not your thing and you're not evangelical. I get that. But what would you say?
I would say that there are 22,000 different Protestant denominations, all inspired by the same book, which they claim to understand better than all of their rivals. I would say that God didn't leave us a Bible, but a teaching office, a papacy, and a magisterium. And when Jesus went days out of his ministry in Galilee and Judea to the pagan territory of Caesarea Philippi, modern Banias, he said to Peter, and the words, the language is explicit, there's no point trying to mistranslate, you are the man with the keys to the kingdom, and his direct descendant is Pope Francis, who's in Rome now. I would say that when Jesus says, this is my body, this is my blood, eat this, chew this, and some of those in front of him walk away and say, we can't do it, it will be cannibalism, and he allows them to go, that the Eucharist has been given to us. I would say that only the Roman Catholic Church has remained totally free of heresy and error for 2,000 years, and that whilst there is truth in many places, and abundant truth within evangelical Christianity, its most pristine form is only to be found in the Roman Catholic Church given to us by God.
Wow.
You asked me.
I'm so sorry I asked that question. Okay, I'm sure that you have had friends that you used to hang out with in the evangelical camp who have tried to get you to come back, or have they just said, bye-bye, Michael, all the best, good luck with that?
You know, the people who matter, frankly, the people who are good, are still my friends.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say who, but one rather strange individual how shall I put this? She left a message on my phone the other day that was just a rant, an anti-Catholic rant. You know who she is, but don't ask me any names. But when I think of the people who I have enormous respect for, like people at Huntley Street and people like Joe Boot and Andy Bannister, I mean, these are still my good friends. No, I mean, what we share is enormous. What divides us is fairly small, and what divides us from the rest of the world is also huge. So we have to work on common ground.
I was just in Spain, and I went to, what is it, the second largest cathedral there? I can't remember the name of it right now. It was down near Malaga. Oh, no, it was over near Granada, I think. Anyway, walking through it, I was once again confused, perplexed, and bewildered, maybe. I don't know what the right word is. But, you know, it's the money spent on buildings. Mm. Evangelicals can get kicked in the butt the same way in this conversation. Does the Catholic Church really need to show off God by their buildings?
Well, the Roman Catholic Church is the most efficient and munificent charity in the history of the world. And this question always intrigues me because the Roman Catholic Church gives away almost all of its income. A Roman Catholic priest lives on effectively minimum wage, less than minimum wage, actually. Now, what you're seeing is glory to God. I mean, if this was money, there was a bishop fairly recently in Germany. I think he got a bit of a raw deal, but he was spending too much money.
Oh, and listen, what was his name? Anyway, yeah, he just got raped. But come on, guy was way over the top.
Well, he was, but if you read between the lines, some of what he was building actually was for the church. But I'll give you a story. I mean, there is a parish not very far from where we are now, closer to me than where you're actually broadcasting from, the other side of Toronto. But a priest, sort of a wealthy man, but he had an SUV, a rather nice new SUV. He was called in by the bishop, and the bishop said to him, get rid of it. He said, you must not arrive in a car that members of your parish could not afford. Mm. You must not do that. Now, you go to the Vatican, you go to St. Peter's, the museum, the beautiful paintings, the church could sell them all. They don't belong to the church. They belong to the history and the entire Christian community throughout history. But if they did sell them, they have no right, they would feed the poor for about a week, and then that's all gone. They'd be with private collectors. No one would ever see them again. If the church was not at the forefront of world charity and world aid, I think this will be a valid point, but it is.
The one thing, and by the way, we're on the phone with Michael Korn, who has just released this book called The Future of Catholicism, available to be gotten now. He is the best-selling author of Why Catholics Are Right, and that really did make a huge impact as well. So well done. You're on a bit of a roll here.
Thank you.
The issues that we have with evangelical people, leaders, living prosperity lives. So you can't be a prosperity preacher, preach prosperity, and live poor. You got to live high on the hog.
It's true, isn't it?
Right?
But it's a minority theme within evangelical Christianity. I mean, prosperity preachers, I've never taken seriously.
No.
I think they're barely within the pale of orthodoxy. But when I think the evangelical leaders I know are not leading wealthy lives. I mean, one or two of them are, but for the most part, they're ordinary lower middle class lives, and I respect them for that.
All right, well, let's just jump right into Pope Francis. So I guess there's a part of me that's waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm waiting for some kind of, and this just shows you how pathetic we are here in North America. Maybe I'm putting it all on us. We're waiting for him to screw up somehow. He can't be that amazing.
Well, he is a man who in Argentina, I mean, there's a chapter in the book about him, actually, and I spent a lot of time studying him. It's very interesting what's going on right now, because just in the past couple of days, he has written huge affirmations of orthodoxy and Pope Benedict and a very conservative interpretation of Vatican II. He's a man of charisma. Look, Pope Benedict was a wonderful man, but the conversation had already been moved. The narrative had been taken over by people who disliked him because he was German, because they said he was too conservative. His views on social justice and the poor were just the same as Pope Francis. That there was a very good article about 2 months ago, and it said, some people have said that the Pope is rather left-wing. Read these statements. And I read them, and I thought, my golly, they are quite radical, aren't they? And it said at the end, all of them said by the Pope, Pope Benedict the 16th. So, in a way, Pope Francis, it's his charisma.
Mm.
Which Pope John Paul had, but arguably Pope Benedict didn't. It's his charisma, his openness, his populism. I don't know if you know, just recently, a very conservative Catholic writer had criticized Pope Francis rather vehemently.
Who is this?
I can't recall his name now, an Italian. And his name, and he's very seriously ill. I mean, seriously ill. Very sudden. And he got a phone call from Pope Francis. Your criticism was valid. It was good for me to hear this. And just asking how he was. This is a remarkable man.
Wow.
He is a remarkable man.
The Catholic Church is not going to change with its views on marriage, is it?
No, it can't, because these views are... The Church can't change anything which is in Scripture or the deposit of faith. It doesn't have that authority. It can't do that. Marriage, and it has nothing to do with homosexuality, really. Marriage is a child-centered institution. It's not about social equality. It must have the procreative norm at its very center. And if at all possible, a child should have both a male and a female role model to raise them. It can't... It's also within Catholicism sacramental. No, that simply cannot change.
Female ordination, married priest, church and state, euthanasia, abortion, birth control. Basically, if I could summarize your book, and I don't want to do this to the point where people are going to say, well, I don't need to read it now, but the Catholic Church is not going to change on those things. Is that what you're saying?
No, not all of those. female nation, no, we can't. I mean, we can't contradict Jesus. I mean, the primary role of the priest is to represent Jesus at the Mass. Women are vital in the Church. Jesus showed himself first to women. We have a place for Our Lady, the Virgin Mary, that Protestants do not have, which is, I think, rather sad. But married men, no, the Eastern Rite Catholicism has married clergy. Quite a lot of Anglicans are coming over to Catholicism. They're, many of them are married. They can be. No, that could change, not female ordination. We're going to change in terms of ecumenism, new evangelization, the way we present the message to the world. The Church is going to change its color. The power base is going to be black and brown, not European and North American. The Pope celebrated Mass with 3 million people in Brazil. In China, there's about 250 million Catholics about to be let loose on the world. So this is where the change is going to take place. The curia, the civil service in Rome, has to be completely reformed. Pope John Paul was asked, how many people work at the Vatican? He said, about half.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man. Michael Korn, TV host, radio personality, syndicated columnist. I actually really read your columns. I really read them. I just don't Thank tell you. People I read them. I really read them. Author of The Future of Catholicism. The website is michaelkorn.com. Michael, you're still over there at Fox Canada North or whatever it's called. What's it called again? Sun News, that's it.
Yeah, it's very exciting because, believe it or not, the CRTC came down with an extremely good decision, and so everything has been...
Wait, the CRTC came down with a decision to cancel Rob Ford's show? Is that what you're...
No, don't be harsh. So by, you know, God willing, by early next year, we shall be in about 80% of all homes, much lower on the dial. So everyone's extremely optimistic.
I am one who does appreciate who you are, how you say what you say, and your forthrightness. I know, look, it comes with its backside as well. You can be a bit of a cheeky monkey at times.
I can, yeah.
I really do. I wish you the best and keep going on, man.
Thank you. And the same to you. It's such a pleasure to have you saying what you do the way you do on the radio. I really appreciate it.
Mr. Korn, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Michael Korn on the Drew Marshall Show.